who's going to talk to us. I spoke to Steve and met with Helen as well before today. And these are people who have a heart for people. And they talk often in CAP about having a heart for CAP, or a CAP heart, don't you? And that heart is a heart of God for the vulnerable, for the poor. And this is God's heart, isn't it? He made himself known and wants to be recognized as the God who is the God of the orphan and the widow and the poor in our communities. For every one of us, he's a heavenly Father. And CAP isn't just about doing good works, is it? It's demonstrating a genuine love and concern for those in need in our community. And I believe this attracts God. When we align ourselves and our hearts with God's heart, I think something happens, doesn't it, in us, and we just want to see those around us. We want the best for them too, don't we? Whoever that might be, you know, whether it's someone in our family or our neighbours or people we're working with, when we've got a heart that's towards God, we somehow have a heart for other people, because God's got a heart for people as well, hasn't he? And our vision, you know, as a church, we've expressed this number of times, just in three words: to reach the lost, to restore the broken, and to refresh believers. And I believe that this ministry of CAP is very much in line with us as a church. We want to see broken lives restored, don't we? People who come into the fellowship with brokenness, people who we meet with brokenness. And society often tries to offer all sorts of solutions, but I believe the church has the real answer. I genuinely believe the church has the key for people who are broken. And something has to happen in us, though, first. And my desire is that, as Steve speaks, as we listen, that we don't just hear about good works, but we hear the heart of God. That we listen to see what the Holy Spirit would say to us today. As a church, we do support CAP. We support CAP financially. We support people, individuals in the church also support CAP as well in that way. But I want us to be a church that really does support CAP. And if there are things that are said this morning, you think, do you know what, I really connect with that ministry. I really connect with what is being said there. But how do I get involved? How could I be involved in this ministry more? How, as a church, could we perhaps minister more into our community? If that's going on in your mind, if God prompts you with something today, then don't just leave it. Talk to myself, talk to the team here as well this morning, and see, you know, see where this goes, see what God would do through us as a body. Because I do believe in the power of the Holy Spirit through believers who love God, who love one another, and who love the community and the people around us. And we want to see a real move of God, don't we, in our communities and in the lives of those that we touch each day. So very well, warm welcome, Steve. I'm going to hand over to you now, and let's give him a warm welcome, shall we? Thank you.
Morning. Yeah, can you just pray with me? That'd be great. I'll just put those there. Drop me notes to start with. That's always a good start, isn't it?
All right, let's all pray, shall we? Let's just release some faith. Thank you, Lord. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity this morning. I thank you for Steve. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for his heart for you, first and foremost, Lord, that he loves you, that he wants to please you and serve you and live a life that is honouring to you. I thank you for his family and others here today who have come, Lord, to serve us and to minister to us today. And I pray for your peace upon each one of them. Lord, that your word would just flow, that you'd help them as they give testimony and speak. We commit our time to you, commit Steve to you, and we just pray, Lord, for great anointing and power in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Morning. My name's Steve Village. I'm from live in Runcorn, so I'm not that far away from you. I've been involved with CAP now for about 9 years, and you know what? When we make ourselves available to God, even in that trembling, in that nervousness, I guarantee you he comes through. the journey that CAP has enabled me to go on. If you said to me 9 years ago, I'd be stood here today talking to you. I'd have probably laughed at you. How often do we hear that in Christian circles, eh? I want to talk today about something that very often is shoved under the carpet by churches, but is something that is very real. One in four people in this country at some point in their lives will suffer from mental health problems. 75% of people who come to services with CAP have mental health issues before they come to CAP. That is something that, as the church, we should stand up and deal with. I'm going to spend a bit of time just talking about how CAP does that. But before we do that, if you can get your phones out and go to your Bible app. And turn or flick through to Mark chapter 4. Verse 35. While you're looking for that, Rob, just thank you for the invite. Sue, thank you for inviting me. It's an honour to be here. I feel at home. And I just thank you for your welcome. We met with Rob to discuss today a few weeks ago. Rob, you did Helen and I real good. Thank you. It blessed us just to spend time with you, and we really appreciated it. Thank you. Mark 4, verse 35. That day, when evening came, he said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also others in the boat with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care? We're going to drown." He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Today, on your CAP Sunday, we're going to uncover how poverty, debt, unemployment, addiction create storms of mental health. And we're going to celebrate how CAP can change things with the local church on board. You're also going to get an opportunity to get involved, to pray, to give some time, to go and see people, to stand with people in their hour of need, and also to get involved financially. As we've just read in Mark chapter 4, the disciples were in deep trouble. They were in the midst of a storm, a very rough storm. This wasn't just any strong wind. This is what in the Greek was called a seismos. And that's Greek. The Greek is means earthquake. It was enormous. They were trapped. They felt like their boat was going to sink. They were miles out away from shore. They had nowhere to go. They couldn't get off the path. They were stuck. They're running out of time. They didn't know what to do. They were terrified. There was no way out. They thought their only end was death. And with panicked voices, can you imagine them doing this? They turned to Jesus, who was asleep, on a cushion, and they wake Jesus, and they say, "Don't you care that I'm going to drown?" This story is a vivid picture of a panic, the anxiety, the fear, the hopelessness that so many people go through with poverty. The storm of debt, relentless wave after wave of people calling you, knocking on your door, sending you post, demanding that you react now, but you can do nothing. 2/3 of CAP clients, and just to put in perspective, last year that was 8,584 families across the UK tried going without food so they could feed their kids and pay their debts, and yet the debts kept spiralling. The storm of unemployment, trying to find work, wanting to work, feeling dejected maybe from past circumstances of why you have no work. Rejection letter after rejection letter after rejection letter. Or even worse, no letter after no letter after no letter. And I do understand why people send no letters, because they get hundreds of applications. But the personal side is still there. The storm of addiction. You know it's wrecking you. You know it's wrecking your family, your relationships. But you can't stop. You have no control. You are swept along in the seismos. Living with constant regret. Recently, a report came out saying that 2.6 million children in this country live with parents who drink too much. You feel so alone. Nobody knows your way out of your depth. You're miles from shore. You keep it hidden. You think you're the only person going through it. Shame keeps you silent, and you feel there's no escape. In a deep swirl of anxiety, you will come up for air occasionally in any of these circumstances and grasp a breath, but it takes you back under again. The physical effects of poverty are physical, but what is far more impacting and far more damaging are the emotional effects of and mental health issues. People like Kylie, who we'll see a little later. As I said, 75% of CAP clients seek help from a doctor over mental health issues each year. Last year, that was nearly 10,000 people. 38% had at some point before coming to CAP considered suicide. And 11%, that's 1,409 people, actually attempted it. But just at the moment of lowest ebb, at the moment of desperation, when you're out of options, you feel there is no hope, you're looking around in a panic for somebody to grab hold of, who might save you. You're trying to see your way out, but you can't see one. It feels like God is asleep in the end of your boat. It's at that time when people cry out, "Don't you care? We're going to drown." Just as those disciples called on Jesus to save them, there are thousands of people here in Waterloo who are crying out for help. Every 6 minutes, the CAP phone line rings with somebody asking for help. They ring CAP, but they're actually calling on the church. I find that remarkable, because that's what the church is about. They're calling on me, but they actually might be calling on you. And that is the challenge today. It's at that moment they need us to step up and step into their boat, to speak to their wind and waves, their seismos that they are going through, and say these words to their life: be still. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Says, so we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. He's calling us, the church, to stand up and step out. Yes, it might be scary stepping into someone's boat, because you don't know what you're doing. You don't know where it's taking you. But if you step in with God, he will see you through. If you want to hear stories of it, I'll gladly talk to you for hours about it. I'm sure Linda would. I'm sure Sue would. As we step into people's lives who are asking us to step into their boats, it'd be there. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up, judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and needy. We are called, you are called, to step up for the rights of the poor and needy here in Waterloo. I can't do it for you here. I live 15 miles away. Local people need local church. God is calling you to be channels of peace and calm. It's what thousands of people and hundreds of churches do with CAP. And to quote a John Kirby phrase, the founder of CAP, and I love the way he describes it because it's so simple. This thing, he calls it a thing, CAP. This thing works. It genuinely works. We see 22,000 families every year whose lives are transformed because people like you and me go, I'll put myself out. I'll take a risk on God. I don't quite understand what's going to happen, but I know God's with me. And that's all it needs. It's a step of faith. Can I ask a question today? Serious question. Answer it yourselves. When was the last time you took a risk on God? When was the last time that you went and stepped into someone else's boat so you could bring peace and say, peace, be still, in their lives? One thing I guarantee you is when you try that, God will be with you. You'll know God like never before. There's times where I've sat in people's homes on their sofa thinking, oh my goodness me, how on earth am I going to deal with this one? And I find my mouth opening because I've prepared to step into their boat and there's words way too intelligent coming out for it to be me. I'm no one different to you. God will see you through if you'll step into the boat. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. CAP are calming the mental storms so people have the space to open up their minds and hearts to God. Last conference we were at, which was only a couple of months ago, there was a massive figure that was put up. 7,000? 7,000 people have turned to Christ because we've opened up enough space for people to do that. In 21 years, the CAP's been going, 7,000 lives saved. And that doesn't include all the lives that are associated with that life. You know, the friends, the family, the everything else that goes on. Last year alone, 1,050 people came to Christ because people gave people the time and the space and the love and the care that people need. In a moment, we're going to watch a video. This is one of the 20-odd thousand people that we help every year. This is Kylie. Kylie had 4 small kids. She had debt issues. Because of the debt issues, she started to suffer from anxiety and other mental health issues. This is typical of what is happening right across the UK. And when the church steps up and steps into those boats, you will see the difference made. Just before we watch this video, do you mind if we pray? Father God, I just thank you for the work of CAP. I thank you that you are using people who are just ordinary but available to step into people's boats. And thank you that you step in there with us. I pray now as we watch this video that you will inspire and challenge us. I just pray that you will help us to see what you are doing through the work of CAP, through this toolbox, equipping the local church to do things in our local community. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
It's dark, this place. Oppressively dark. At sea, open waters, deep trouble. It drowns me. No one knows that I'm way out of my depth, that I'm in debt. Keep swimming. The shore can't be far. But I've been out here for days. Or is it months? Years? Alone. I am alone. That's the worst part, that no one knows. I never thought that would be me. I never thought I'd feel so weak. I never thought I would struggle to give my kids what they need. But they need, and I have nothing to give. If I blur out this ocean, this black, this blue, it hurts less. I feel less. My mind in tatters, gripped by anxiety. When was the last time I laughed? Smiled? When was the last time I breathed? Without taking in water. I just don't know what happened, how I got here, how I fell into the struggle of not eating, of ends not meeting, of hungry, of cold, of lonely, endlessly attacked by these waves of darkness and despair and devastation, of threats and guilt and accusation, of day after day, day after day, depression, rock bottom, wave after wave. Does it never end? They're building and breaking. They're breaking. I'm breaking. I throw all my might into this one sound. Save me! Save me! Quiet. What is this sign? I'm not sure I've heard it before. Stillness. What is it? I don't think I've ever felt like this. A hand reaches for me. You reached for me. You pulled me out of the water and wanted nothing in return. I felt warm in my skin, warmth in my soul. For the first time in years, I saw light. Brilliant light, like first thing in the morning, blazing the darkness, the end of the night. Unconditional support, inexhaustible kindness, a peace that surpassed all conceivable understanding. You saw me. You found me. You lifted me. And I breathed. At last.
Watch it again if you want to. Praise God that he brings light to the darkness. One of the 21,500 people that local churches stand with every year and use the toolbox of CAP to equip themselves to be able to do a professional, loving, caring service in their community. But it's not just Northern Ireland where that happens, where that lady's from. I'm going to introduce you now to a couple of people. Now, it's dead easy because we're all called Steve, okay? I did it on purpose. They're not called Steve, really. It's just I'm rubbish with names. Steve? Let's welcome him. I've had the joy of knowing you for probably about 18 months now.
Around that, yeah.
Yeah. We met when you came into Job Club in Widnes.
Yeah.
Head down.
Nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go. Didn't know where to turn. I remember the first few weeks you were there, you sat with your head in your hands, and you were just grateful for...
Somewhere to go. Yeah.
Just tell us a little bit of why you'd reached that point, how you got to that point.
Basically, worked all my life. 2007, I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. So I lost my taxi business I had. Left in debt of about £40,000. And... kept my head above water, but struggled. And then 18 months ago, I turned to the founder church in Widnes through my son, who'd seen this little brochure in the local church. And I never looked back, really. It's just been a journey, and it's been a good journey. And I just, you know, thank the church, the foundry. Thank God that it happened to me, and I'm not 59 years of age and put on the pile of rubbish. I now feel 59 and I'm getting somewhere. So,
yeah, it's remarkable. I so wish when we did these interviews we could have sort of a second version, which was your original person.
What do they call them? things.
Like a hologram.
That's it, yeah. One of them.
Because, you know, this guy has been on such a journey. He came into Job Club and we just loved him. Job Club is an 8-week course that takes people through the practical steps of CVs, finding your strengths, transferring skills, all those sorts of things. The days of a career when you start with a company and you retire with that company are pretty much gone these days, and people go through all sorts of changes. As part of the conversation we had, you told us about your money issues.
Yeah.
And you came on a Cap Money course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you came on a Cap Money course, we told you about Alpha course. So you came on the Alpha course.
Yeah.
Are you seeing where this goes? Yeah. And then
all your free nights disappear, you see, because you've got all these. Yeah. But you do the one at the Foundry. The good. Every time you go, you do get your tea.
There's anything with Cap, you get food involved. So.
And little surprises underneath your seat as well.
Yeah. So we then realised, I then had a good long talk. I used to be a debt coach at Widnes, and I realised just speaking to Steve that you were needing more than just Cap Money or Cap Money Plus, which is an extra service that they run off the back of it. And so I hounded Linda and... you and the church have helped us with that. Thank you so much, because I know you put finance towards this local debt centre and you travel down to Widnes to step out of your boat to come and see us. And the transition in this man's been remarkable, hasn't it? We sat down, I sat as a befriender rather than a debt coach in there, and we've walked this walk for a year and a bit.
Yeah.
And... Yeah. You just let everyone know what's going to be happening in the next month or so?
Well, every month they've sorted all my debts in Cap. And every month I send them a payment. And I believe when it gets to around £680, they can then go towards liquidisation, bankruptcy, whatever you want to call it. I paid my last payment a week and a half ago before I went away last weekend through Cap. Very well recommended. And now I'm just waiting that my bankruptcy will come through before Christmas and I can have a nice Christmas with my
family. Debt-free before Christmas would be good, wouldn't it? Yeah?
And then
yeah.
Go back to work in January.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So...
crazy thing is, Steve's been offered a job, but it actually makes it harder for him to go through his debt issues. So we deal with lots and lots of complexities, okay? Thankfully, there's loads of experts at head office that do all that work for us. What he needs is this, isn't it? Come on, we'll do this together, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah? And we've done that, and I've loved doing that with you.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. You've just been away on a discovery break. Cap actually will take people away, will pay for people to go away on a break, and they do them all over the country, and we basically give people, you know, I talked earlier about giving them that space to breathe. Well, this is a space to breathe. They're always really well done. I go along as a volunteer to help out on some of them. I know loads, you've been as well. And just the transformation in 2 or 3 days in people's lives is phenomenal. You really enjoyed it, haven't you?
Yeah, I went to a place on the Peak District in Derbyshire. Willersby Castle, it was called. So I'm expecting to see these statues and armour and things like that. And got inside and it's just a hotel.
Not inside the suit of armour?
No,
okay.
I wouldn't have fitted. But it was... I went on a Friday. I took a friend here, Stephen, who had no transport, so Linda asked me to take him, so I took him with me. We had a nice journey down there. We got there Friday afternoon, just after 3 o'clock, and we were there till Sunday, 2 o'clock. It was all 3-course, 5-star meals. We had a swimming complex there. There was archery. Stephen done the archery. Didn't hit the bull, but hit the fella, I think. Yeah, and it was just great. There was things of a night time. You could do art and craft. And the whole through that, we had, like, everything was 5-star. And it was all for nothing. And it was done through CAP. And I thanked them very much because it was such a relief to get away for a weekend. I've got 7 grandkids. And my house is open every day to my grandkids. The worst one being there. the love of my life and my daughter who lives at home with me. But no, absolutely fantastic. And I'd recommend if you get the opportunity to go. Linda nominated me, which I didn't know about until Kat phoned me up and said, you've been nominated. And I thought, I've won the lottery. But it was all through Linda nominating me. And if you ever get the chance, go on it. It's absolutely fantastic. The people I met were from London, all over Yorkshire. Well, wherever they were, they were from everywhere. And the CAP people that run it, like Steve said, he was a volunteer doing it with them, were absolutely fantastic. And they give up all their time to help us. And I think everyone that was on the course really enjoyed it. And that was it.
Just one last thing.
You don't want me to sing, do you?
No, we thought you were going to do a dance with the flags.
Oh, right, right.
It's not just about that, but there's also eternal consequences to what happens with people when they meet with people from church who are properly equipped and have a real heart. You found God in this process, haven't you?
I have in a way, yeah.
We're all on a journey.
They keep telling me that it just hits you. And I keep waiting for this thing to hit me. Either someone punch me or
come
a shock of light or something. I don't know. I haven't got to that stage yet. But yeah. Then when I speak to Steve or Linda or whatever, it's already happening in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm not really grasped that because I'm waiting for this lightning bolt to hit me and then go, whoop! You know, I'm here. I'm with God. You know, but yeah. I'll get there. I will get there.
Hey, we're all on a journey, and I know that CAP have got to do a thing called. There's a guy called Rod Williams, an evangelist, who's from used to be the Witness that centre manager. He's now working at head office as an evangelist, and he does. He's got a remarkable story, he learned to do magic tricks while he was in prison. And he's written his book called The Real Deal. It's worth a good look at if you want to do it. But he now goes round and uses magic to and illusions and all that sort of thing and then tells his story. And you get a meal, don't you, at the same time? So we went
You're always getting meals. I think it's just like...
Yeah, we need to keep you fat.
But you do.
So we did fish, chips and magic tricks. We went down to Crewe, which is that centre there. And we... we took you there, and I know that you were impacted by Rod's story, and you knew you needed God in your life. So I know you're waiting for this bolt of lightning.
Well, I hope it's not lightning, because, you know.
Sort of.
Yeah, it'll stick up.
but it's about a faithful walk with God, and I know God's... I can see that God's changed you in the way that you walk. So,
well, Rod came to witness,
don't stress over it.
Yeah. Rod came to witness not so long ago, and I took me 2 eldest grandsons. And he was amazed with this thing. Well, on the way, one of the things that hit me on the way home, I dropped the first grandson off, then I went to drop him off. I was going through this little, off my main road onto the, and all of a sudden, he just burst out crying. So I slammed the anchors on the car, and I said, "What's up, son?" He said, "I felt something." And it really hit me because I hate seeing him cry or anything like, but he actually started crying again.
He's off again.
And I tried to explain to him, his mum is not a believer because I lost the son at 16 through epilepsy, and she's always believed that God took him, which he did take him, but he took him to heaven. The reason I think now, before I came here, I thought the same thing. But now I believe it wasn't for him to die at 16. It was the evil part that took him or done what had done to him. And then God's now got him under his wing. And when he done that to me, I just slammed the anchors on. I said, you'll be all right. But I had to explain to his mum, first thing she said is, he's not going that church again. They do this to him, you know. And I said, if he wants to go, he can come with me. And last night, he normally sleeps every Friday. Well, he slept Friday and he slept Saturday because he wanted to come today. And it's a big thing for him, you know, because he's 11 years of age. And the love of my life.
Yeah. Steve, it's been a pleasure walking with you. Yeah. Thank you, okay. Come on. So, Steve, that's only the second time Steve's been out and spoken with you. And as you can tell, he's sort of... can't stop him, can you? But it's good to hear, isn't it? Yeah. Steve, I'll keep you a bit briefer, if that's okay. First time we've met today.
Very nice.
Lovely to see you, with a big smile on your face. Yeah.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Just tell us a little bit of your story with what it was like before CAP and what CAP have done for you, as you feel free.
Well, my story begins in 2011 with my wife, Ellen, who died of cancer. I was an ex-musician from Liverpool, bands and things and everything. Quite happily married man, you know, with two children, contented and that usual thing, bills and whatever everyone goes through. But as I say, after she died, I turned to alcohol, you know, and got myself in loads of debt and what have you. We're in a right tight knot and scenario, you know, at that moment in time. Then I seemed to pull myself out together, you know. People like my daughter was the only person who was there for me, Emma, my daughter. She's 30 now. And she's working as a manageress in two beautician salons in Liverpool. I'm very proud of her and that. So the next thing is, she said, look, Dad, you have to pull yourself up. You have to do something with your life. So anyway, the next thing is, as time went on, I was struggling with, you know, the usual debt and stuff. And then the next thing is I met Alan and Sue came along and, you know, they really lifted me up. I was made up, you know, someone was there who cared and was like more or less introduced me into the hall of fame with God. So anyway, the next thing is... this holiday that we were on, this break we were on, Steve, absolutely fantastic. Do you know what? I really honour those people, honestly, and they do a great job in, you know, the office in Bradford, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm getting to know a little bit more about CAP, actually, you know, as I go along and progress, you know. And then I met Steve as well. Steve, he's done a great job. Indeed, we were on the roller coaster, weren't we? Do you remember that? Those roads, oh God, they were scary. Yeah, on the roller coaster. Yeah. Oh, mad. Anyway, so anyway, I met, as Steve pointed out earlier on, I met some lovely people. You know, it's really changed my life around, and I wish to thank each and every one of you, and of course Sue and Alan and everyone. Thank you very much, much obliged, and
thank you,
lovely people.
Keep going, keep going.
Thank you.
Change. Thank you. God bless. Pleasure. Local people are in need here, and I know I've spoken with Rob about it, that you want to connect with local people and you want to be able to do it. I started with CAP, I'd had no training, I just wanted to do something, I didn't even know what. I had some empathy with people who had been through it and going through those issues. Having dealt with mental health in my family as I was growing up, I knew what it was like. Having lost a business and dealing with the debt issues that came with it, I just knew I wanted to do something. CAP are fantastic at training people, encouraging people, taking you forward. Can I urge you to pray for us? This is frontline ministry. We are knocking on people's doors and we are taking territory from the enemy. Will you stand with us by praying? We will send you newsletters on your chairs. There are some forms. If you fill in the first part of that form and bring it to us today, we would love to give you a free book. This is John Kirkby, the founder's story. And it's quite a read. And you understand why he has such a heart for the poor and needy. If you've already read this, I have got a few copies of Journeys of Hope, which is a dozen stories like you've just heard now. Some of which are very local to here. Will you enable somebody to pick up a phone and phone CAP? £5 enables us to start that journey. I know there are lots of people here who support financially. Can you either reconsider or look at it for the first time? If you want to, the second part of the form is there. We don't need all your details, but come and talk to us. We'll guide you through that process. Maybe something's tugged at your heartstrings and you want to be a vision sponsor, in which case, please come and talk to me and I'll give you more details about that. CAP have now got, when we started and opened our debt centre, I think we were debt centre 102. Since then, with all the other services that are going on, that's 8 years ago, there are now 673 centres across the UK. Isn't that remarkable what God's done? But we don't believe God's finished with CAP yet. We are believing for 1,000 centres across the UK by 2021. Because there are still places where they phone for CAP services and there is not a church picking up the baton and running with it. That's why we won't give in, because we won't give in on people. Will you step up maybe today? Come and talk to us, come and talk to Rob and go, something's got me here. All we need is a heart. That's all God needs, isn't it? I'll step into people's boats. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how it all works. You'll hear a little bit about that from Sue in a little while. Waterloo needs you, or you, or you, or you, or all of you to step out and stand with people in their hour of need. It is remarkable what God is doing through it. I can't tell you. I could stand here for hours and tell you stories about it. You'll be glad to know I'm not going to. I'm finished now. But we'd love to talk more with you. We'd love you to get engaged in prayer, financially, or personally in this area. God can use you if you will just take a risk on him. We've seen it time after time after time. If he's done it with me, and he's done it with Sue, and he's done it with Linda, he can do it with you. It just needs your availability to take it forward. On behalf of the poor and needy, I'd just like to thank you for your time, your support, and just pray that God will bless you as a church and challenge you on the way forward to reach this area for him. Thank you.
Right, we are a little bit pushed for time, but you're not going to get away with this, I'm afraid, so you're still going to come. Let's just, we'll be brief, but I wanted just to, some of you don't know Sue and the work that Sue does, but I wanted you to hear a little bit about her journey. and her story in getting involved with CAP, because she's not the sort of person that would have pushed ahead and said, I'm going to do this, but she was drawn into it. And so I wanted to, first of all, just ask Sue how you first heard about it and what your role is at the moment.
It was about 5 years ago, around this time of year, Linda, who runs the debt centre, she found that her workload was quite high and she needed help from local churches to take on board clients. So she wanted someone in this area, the L21, 22 and 23, to come on board. So there was a presentation, head office came out and Linda was here, I think, with Frank. And so I heard about CAP then at that.
Okay, and so tell us about what your biggest concern, what were the things that you most, if you like, dreaded or were uncertain about before you started with CAP?
The presentation was wonderful. I was really impacted by how CAP is such an amazing service, but that was it. I didn't think any more of it, to be honest. It was only when someone from the church leadership team came to me, and I think it was a few months after, to see if I would consider being the debt coach. And it, to me, it was for someone else. It was for someone who was more confident, more able, you know, things like that. But I started praying about it. And as I was praying, the Lord started to reveal things to me about how the journey I'd been on in my own personal life, the difficulties I'd faced, the financial hardship I'd faced, how that gave me an understanding and a compassion for people who were struggling with debt. So my main concern was it for me? And because God seemed to be leading me, I just thought I'd take it further.
And so how did CAP actually help you to overcome some of these fears?
Well, at first, I had a meeting with Linda and Frank at their church, Frank the pastor, to see if they thought I was suitable and if I could work with Linda and she could work with me. And that went fine, so that was fine. But the next thing was head office in Bradford. And I am not someone who likes driving long distances on my own. And the thought of going to Bradford was just awful for me, made me full of anxiety. But Dorothy McCulley offered to come with me. She said, I'll just be your companion for the day and I'll come with you for your interview day. And I'm so pleased she did, because we got stuck in traffic on the M62. It was foggy, it was horrible, it was standing traffic. You could not see whereabouts you were on the M62. Another thing was, I hated being late, and we were going to be late because of being stuck in traffic. So anyway, we got to the interview day, and part of the interview day was I had to do a presentation. And I can't remember how long the presentation was, but it was definitely too long. I think it might have been 3 minutes, I don't know. But I don't know, it was just horrible. And I sat across a table with these two interviewers, and I did this presentation, but I felt as though I was reading my notes at the time and not presenting, you know, not coming across. So I thought, I came out of that room and I thought, that's it, I've blown it. They don't want me. I'm not confident enough. They want someone who's got confidence. But that didn't happen, so.
Very good. And we've heard today, haven't we, about quite briefly about some of the services, but about life skills, where, you know, people who are having to live on a budget, who are struggling, can learn basic skills on managing their finances, on shopping, on cooking on a budget, and those sort of things. We've heard about Job Club as well, where it's not just about finding someone a job, it's the journey that's taken with these people, building self-esteem and confidence and overcoming some of the barriers and so on. A release groups, which is helping people with addictions, as well as the financial services that are provided. If someone wants to get involved in any of these things, what would you say to them?
If you've been impacted in any way and you're feeling any way insecure or anxious, then pray about it. That's all I would say. That's where I was 5 years ago. And as Steve said, all that the Lord asks for is that you have a heart and a heart for people, and God does the rest. And also, if you've been impacted and you think, yeah, this is something that I would like more information on, just come and talk to us. But prayer is an important part of it as well. Head office pray every day, don't they? We get prayer bulletins for needs every week. When we see clients in their own homes, we offer to pray with them. If they refuse, that's fine, but we'll always offer to pray. So prayer is very important. So please pray about it and see how the Lord leads.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Let's give her a big clap. Isn't that wonderful? So I'd just like to thank you all for coming today. Thank you for sharing your heart for CAP and the work that CAP's doing. It's a real privilege to be supporting CAP and to be serving with you. So thank you so much. Let's give them all a big round of applause and we'll have a cup of tea. Bless you guys. Thank you also. Please